Since 1991, ProTaper has led the way in premium control components and prides themselves on providing an exciting, innovative, and complete product line to fulfill the needs of professional racers and weekend riders alike. Through revolutionary ideas like the oversized 1 1/8-inch handlebar and the micro handlebar kit, the only control system purpose-built for youth riders, ProTaper continues to push the limits and transform how we experience riding our motorcycles. Visit ProTaper.com for more. Everyone, welcome to the Kickstart Podcast presented by ProTaper. It is the Monday after one of the craziest Supercrosses of the year.
Crashville.
Nashville. Yeah, Crashville, Nashville. It wasn't the only crash going on. But yeah, man, we're here. We survived. I survived. Anton survived. I didn't really survive. I'm about to kill myself.
You can't start the podcast off like that.
Dude, so I've been struggling with this crazy hematoma on my thigh for like a week now. And guess what, Anton? This morning, I fell down my stairs, all 17 of them.
Oh, no.
Because I was trying to go down the stairs on my heel instead of my regular feet because it hurt less. For like a week, I've been going down the stairs one by one on my turn sideways, and I'm like, I'm going to go down on my heel this morning. Second stair, sock, hardwood floor.
Dude, I've fallen down those steps. Those are gnarled steps. Those are some hard.
You fall down those?
Uh-huh. Those are some hard-edged sons of bitches.
When did you fall down those?
Do you remember the time that somebody knocked on the door and it was your daughter and I thought your house was getting broken into?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I ran up the steps and I think I fell right then.
Oh. Yeah, so anyway. I don't feel much better than I'm sure Roxanne or Kitchen or
any of them.
Any of them today. But anyway, what a race, man. I mean, it's pretty awesome that you were there, A-Ray, and obviously Anton, you're at every one, but dude, was it just chaotic? Like crazy, what is going on here? What was in the water in Tennessee?
Yeah, so pretty much it all started out with the track, you know, whenever they were building the track, they built it with some, you know, the dirt was like super soft and soupy, it seemed like, and I'm in this group chat with the track crew, and you know, they were just saying, you know, it was going to be ruddy, very very ruddy, and that's what it was, you know, and then they uncovered the track on Friday, which, you know. Usually sometimes whenever there's not much rain in the forecast, they'll do. And then, you know, just to dry it out. And on Friday night, you know, late in the night, it came down pretty good. And the track was really muddy for those first couple practices. But the sun came out, dried the track out pretty well. The track crew, they did awesome to get it, you know, the, what it was, because, you know, the first couple practices, I'm sure Anton, he'll tell you that it was muddy for sure. Seeing the guys come off the track, they were head to toe just muddy. And it turned out to be a good racetrack, but they did do like the mud prep where there wasn't like a supercross triple. There was, you know, the set of whoops were actually pretty gnarly. They almost looked like loader whoops, you know, and how sharp they were. But the track, it was tough, you know, and a lot of people were doing, you know, pretty much the same line. And then it wasn't until like the last qualifier, they started getting creative and doing some different lines, like the rhythm after the finish that you've seen Eli and the top guys do. I think Anstey was the first one to do it. And then a couple guys sort of caught on to it. But some guys, they didn't even, I think Eli, he didn't even catch on to it until the main event, you know. And it was definitely a different racetrack for sure. You know, I think, you know, we just seen a lot of weird things happen. You know, I don't know if it's because it's Nashville and the last couple of years, it's just been a weird race and weird things have happened. But yeah, it was definitely a crazy night of racing. And shoot, man, that rhythm finish line, you had to really downside that tabletop perfect to get that next three, because there wasn't much of a face on it. And there was a couple times where Eli and Jet both almost had big ones just because, like, you know, they didn't get the height that they needed. So, like I said, tricky, you know, track. And I think too, like with you know, the couple mechanicals that the guys did have, I'm sure that, you know, Anton has a little bit more information, but like the Sexton's throttle sticking and you know, the everything that we've seen with Roczen, that was, it was just like a wow factor. We're like watching it, we're just like, what the hell is going on? Like, it was crazy.
Really all goes back to the dirt too. Like what Ray said, it goes down to the dirt. I talked to Alex when we were walking out of the stadium on Saturday night and just kind of discussed everything with him. He told me that dirt comes from an area about 2 miles away. Every time that they had gone before, like A-Ray went this weekend, and so people that were on site, the area that they used to use for the pit party is getting torn up now because that's where the new stadium that's going to be finished in like 27 is supposed to go. So you can see all that pavement's broken up, and you can see all this dirt that was from there. So you would think that it would come from right there, but it's not. It's the same stuff from the last few years. It's really rocky, and then it's got, like A-Ray has said a couple times on the show in the last little bit, it's just got this weird character to it where it just, it's super hard pack. It's just really strange. And then the rain that did happen set the tone for the whole week, because Friday it was rock solid. Like I went up into the stadium at like 6 o'clock at night and was shooting it from the stands, and you could see where they had laid some water down, but it was going to be good for the next day. And then when I woke up at like 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and it was dumping rain, I was like, oh dude, we're in for a day. But it's good that it did happen that way. I mean, they still even had to run the water truck, because if it wouldn't have rained, it would have just been straight up, you know, Corona Clay Company test track for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a great job getting the ruts out. I mean, I think the most treacherous section was the finish line area. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was looking at the rhythms and stuff, and, man, they scraped it or the transitions were okay. And it didn't look as bad as, like, say, last week's track.
Yeah. Anton, did they say it was the same dirt you said? So did they not? It almost seemed like they ran out. Like, see, there wasn't a berm in a couple spots, and then I heard they were hitting plywood and qualifying already.
But I think that's just, like, almost the nature of the way that the course layout was, because in that turn before, after the whoops, before the triple-triple rhythm, everybody was going to the inside there, and then to protect the inside in the finish line to hit that line, I mean, everybody was going to it, so then to gas it, that's where everybody was really going down to the plywood the most, was that little inside. But that's why I asked where the dirt had came from when I talked to Alex, because I was like, all right, man, you have all of this dirt 25 yards away. Like, it's on the backside of that grandstand area. You could go get it, but they didn't. But that dirt is just crazy. And he even told me the way that the dirt went in, like Alex said, super soft early in the week. We knew really on Monday, Tuesday that there probably wasn't going to be a press day just because of the way that the load in and the early construction had went. And so then the way the track broke down, like on Friday, it was pretty good at the track. They probably could have ridden, and it's a good thing that they didn't, because it would have just been hammered. But it's really kind of like, how do I say this? It's dirty dirt. There's a lot of debris in it. There's a lot of rocks. There's a lot of other material that's in there. So I know that there's a lot of people that are like, oh, how to chase, get a rock that breaks this. I could totally see it, because there is a lot of little like gravel, normal just rock that you would have in your driveway mixed into everything. And then if you walk the perimeter of the track, there was some big old like car wheel size boulders in there too.
Jeez.
But yeah, I mean, like,
I was even talking to some of the track crew. I'm like, dude, you guys got the dirt in the wrong area of Tennessee. It's making us look bad. But you know, they should definitely maybe ask me next time they need to get some dirt, because if they go a little bit further down towards Memphis, it's not like that. It's like the best dirt I've ever ridden. So they definitely need to source out some dirt in a different area. I could sell them some dirt. Hell, I'll let them use ours.
Hey, Michael, was you referenced the rock, right? I saw that on someone's Instagram.
That was a KTM press release.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Steph told me. Now, I know that there's like a lot of discrepancy, because the wording, like the verbiage was the throttle body, which is, you know, way, way down in there. I thought it was the throttle housing, like up on the handlebar, which makes more sense, but we'll
see,
find out.
I had heard a little different. I heard it was mechanical.
Was that?
Like not induced. I heard it was mechanical, like a failure. It wasn't a rock-induced thing.
Okay. Yeah, because when I went by the truck, they said it in the press conference. Like, they made it a point to say it in the press conference. And then when I went by the KTM rig at the end of the night, Steph told me that he was beat up, but there was no preliminary report of, like, any kind of broken bone or anything. He was just beat up. And you could tell that he took that blow straight to the head, because the helmet was all scuffed up. But yeah, Chase walked it off. I know that there were some people thinking that his shoulder was hurt just because he was like drooping them, but that's just kind of the way Chase is.
Yeah, the way he was holding his arm, yeah.
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 Man, the Roczen one, though, how spectacular was that, right?
Dude.
You see it as soon as he lands. Boof! So I think that was the shock body broke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of wondering if the circlip that holds the bladder cap in.
Yeah, there's a picture.
No, it came out.
The picture Swan got, you can see it flying off.
I Dude. Found it. I found it after the race.
No saw, way.
Yeah, I found it
the
in
O-ring
the
ring or the cap.
The C clip. It was in the Whoop. I went to walk the Whoop specifically to be like, all right, something broke. I want to go see what's out there, and I was the first person to get there because I was thinking like LB or someone from the team would go walk it too to see what they could find. So I left. Like I didn't pick anything up. I just left it there. But I saw this clip and I'm like, dude, that's got to be it. It was right in the middle of the Whoops.
Yeah, I wonder. Oh, I wonder
you should
if
have
that
picked
has
it up and gave
to
it to
with...
the active ride guy.
Well, see, I didn't want to move anything and be like, you know, like,
crime
I thought,
scene.
Yeah, tampering like, evidence.
Tampering. Felony. Yes. Yeah. Somebody in the vital comments, because I said it in their post, because they have the whole sequence that Swan shot, and Ryan showed me that night. So yeah, you can see it flying out the side. But I told, like, somebody's like, oh, you should have picked that up and had a souvenir. But it's like, oh, no, dude, you don't take, like, ancient artifacts. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's now part of
the You know what? That,
soil.
That thing's going to roost somebody in the face next year.
Yeah. I wonder
someone's
going to
come
much,
off with a C-clip in the goggle frame.
I wonder how much that had to do with that wall jump before the Whoops. You know, like, they weren't doing any of that all day. And then as soon as, like, the gate drops for the 450 main event, Eli and Kenny take off, right? You know, and they start doing all these different rhythms. They start doing the single over table 3-3, and then they were doing the double across, and then they were doing that 3 out of that corner there. I wonder if that because hitting that wall jump, they were going so high, and it was an abrupt landing right before the Whoops. I wonder if that had anything to do with the shock, because I guess, like, the whole bottom of the shock just, like, blew out or something. I'm not sure, but... But yeah, it's such a bummer, but hopefully he's okay. I mean, I don't think, I think they did, you know, some x-rays and stuff at the track. I don't think anything's broken. I think he's getting checked out today, but from what I hear, I think he's going to be okay.
It's so bizarre. Did the slow-mo, Mason Churchill got a slow-mo straight on, and then someone on the Feld side also got a slow-mo, I think, from the side, and that one, dude, like, just to watch the shock with no oil, just, dude.
You see the swing arm extend and actually top out.
Nuts, dude. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
You have to, like, so, wonder for Kenny too, like, in the split second from the landing to that initial, like, bang of what, like, and then, and to try to ride it out is unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And to the point, you know, that Avery had said about the part failing, and Ken has been really big to say that thing only had 3 hours on it. Like, as I was driving home yesterday, I was really putting a lot of thought into just how the day had went. And we know that a lot of the components on the Suzukis have some time on them. I was like, man, I wonder if this is a shock body that had some hours on it. But as Ken said, it's a brand new one.
Yeah. Man, do you remember last week we were talking and saying, this is the greatest ever? Like, you know, AP is like the only top guy out, or there's haven't been all these
injuries. I feel
injuries
like we said the same thing until this point last year, too, though.
Really?
Like a couple, 3-4 rounds ago last year, and then boom, same deal, everyone.
So many people just got wadded this week. It's unbelievable.
But we did get some guys back. We got Dino back this weekend, which is good. And it looks like we're going to be getting another guy back this next weekend in Philly. So
yeah,
should be.
He posted
he's
already coming back, right? I thought I saw a post morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talking Ferrandis?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So that's good.
Well.
Where do we start? 40, I guess?
Yeah.
Dude.
I mean, Jet winning's no surprise, but dude.
I was pretty surprised.
Eli was on it.
Dude. I thought Eli had it. He was gone at the beginning, dude.
It's so funny, too, to watch the riding style contrast between Eli and Jet.
Mm-hmm.
The way they ride is just, Eli to me is starting to look like a vet. You know what I mean? Because we're so used to seeing Jet and the way he rides and how thin he is, and Eli's got the baggier gear, and
yeah,
but I don't know. Pretty awesome race.
That double on the opening lap over by the start straightaway. Oh my god! I've been waiting all day to see somebody do that. Like, that's some video game shit. And so I missed when Hill and a couple other people, I guess, did it in the 450 heat races. And so when they did it on the first lap, like, him and Ken go for it, and I was like, whoa, know they were going to try for that, because in practice, everybody had been jumping about 80% to that landing and then rolling over to make that inside. Eli's raw speed in the early part there, he was going for it to break away as soon as he could. But dude, Kenny's raw speed too, the gap that Eli and Ken put on in those first 5 minutes was impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And like that, it was so cool to be in the stadium that first couple laps too, just with seeing how well like the crowd reacted to seeing Eli, you know, out front and then doing all those new lines that the guys haven't done pretty much all day. You know, the crowd was just like freaking super loud whenever they did that wall jump right before the whoops, and they were like, whoa. It was like everyone was just like out of their seat, just yelling. But Anton, did it seem like there was less people in the stands than there was in the pits? I'm not sure if it was because of the pit layout or what, but dude, like it seemed like there was a ton of people in the pits, but the stands seemed like there was quite a bit of spots open.
I think it's just like the layout, like just perception of everything. Cause like I had said, when it was in that big wide open parking lot, it was just like normal, but they had it differentiated out for people that weren't there in like five different little parking lots all across the property that were smaller. So those would seem full. And then that stadium is one of those old school, like late 90s. You got to have like the big Coliseum, 60, 70,000 seats. So then it did look empty. I thought like turnout wise, it looked about like St. Louis, just optically, like, because the top was pretty empty and everything. But then again, if downtown's just walking across that bridge away and beers are about the same price over there and you really want to go party, why would you stay?
What I was going to say. I have two friends from high school that flew out to Nashville for the race, and they actually ended up not making it back to the stadium for the race. They actually in the bar and watching the race from the bar. So I wonder how many other people that fell victim to that same situation.
Dude, that could happen quick in Nashville. it can happen quick. I understand.
But they were stoked. That could happen. Yeah.
Where did you watch the race from, Alex?
Do
you have a suite, hometown suite?
No. I watched, we were watching with Samantha's family. First couple of heat races were just like down in the just industry seating, and then it got super cold, and we all went up to the press box and watched the rest of the day. Yeah,
it was cold.
Yeah,
it was really cold.
Yeah, it's really cold. But yeah, man, it's freaking awesome racing. I mean, we had some guys doing like a lot better, and then you know some guys that kind of I feel like underperformed in a few areas. So yeah, it was a weird weekend for sure.
Were you guys not surprised that Jet got it? Like I thought, especially with the track conditions, how hard packed it was. I thought Eli could have hung on to it. Just the beginning when I saw him leading.
I think it would have gotten spicier, like another 3-4 minutes. And then maybe we could have definitely finally seen what we've been waiting 4 months for. You know, we've been waiting a long, long time to finally have them go head to head. And for the lappers or the crash in the sand to, you know, set the tone for that is kind of unfortunate. Because I do agree with you, Chase. I think the conditions were really boding well for Eli because he likes the hard pack. And we've seen Jet do good on hard pack. And both guys have a big point to prove because Jet and Cooper all day had kind of been near each other. There were some times in practice where they linked up. And then if you watch the raw video from the second 450 session, Eli and Jet link up together to do some fast laps too. So they were pretty equal all day. I was interested to see how that one was going to go. But you could tell that Jet wanted to make a statement all day on Saturday. Like, yo, I need to reclaim this and set the tone because I don't have many more chances.
Yeah. Dude, the outside... Leaving the sand, sorry, real quick. The outside leaving the sand, Eli, like the beginning of the moto was ridiculous. Mm. It was so sick.
I like that the sand had
options.
Optional lines, you know, like two lanes that crisscrossed. That was...
It played well in the heats, it seemed like. Maybe main events became a little bit more one line, but in the heats, it was awesome.
You know, I think, you know, with the whole Eli Jet thing, I think that... Eli, you know, whenever he gets the start and he goes, he those first few laps, I think he went a little bit too hard and sort of shot his wad a bit, you know, like maybe he got a little bit of arm pump or something, because like the middle of the race, it seemed like once Jet got into second place, like second or third place, he started really like hitting his marks. Eli had those first three laps that were pretty good, but he kept making several mistakes. Like he would miss the rhythm one lap or his front end would tuck or something. He would get upset and he lost a lot of time towards the middle of the race. That's when Jet sort of like closed in on him. And then once he made the pass there, I mean, I think it was just just over at that point, right? I mean, he had already like lost the wheel and everything and sort of lost his mojo for the rest of the main event. That's what it seemed like to me. Like, I mean, they had that such good sprint speed, like right at the beginning of the main, but they're a little bit like, he just seemed like he just kept like hanging a wheel on the jumps, or I don't know, just messing a few things up to where Jet, he was just hitting his marks every single lap, and dude, Jet had way more consistent.
Jet did have a scary moment. He cased something.
Well, that we talked about a little bit earlier, that one rhythm. He got thrown a little over the front over that triple.
Yeah. You know, close. And I was talking to Truman in the press box and said that in the Honda truck, they were talking about going after the finish line, going three in and then table over two. And but yeah, we never seen it in the main event. They felt that they could do it, but just sort of depends on how the track develops. And I guess, you know, it just didn't really develop in their favor to do that rhythm. But yeah, that would have been super cool to see, like, you know, first couple laps of the main event, you know, another big rhythm.
Yeah.
On the,
hey, what do you guys think if Kenny's shock didn't break, would the points damaged for Cooper would have been worse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
Kenny was on one, man.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have gotten on the podium.
I think so as well.
Yeah, that was everything kind of played out in Cooper's favor with the way that went for Ken to go down, because he was kind of losing the gap. And then as you watch as the race goes on, like, that was admittedly not the best day for Cooper all the way around. And I mean, he was good in qualifying and everything like that, but he just didn't get the toe with those top three guys in the first part. And he was right there with them. Like, he was there if you rewatch the first few laps, and then it just, the gap gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. It just didn't look like was he chasing was like fourth? Himself this past weekend. It seemed like he was just a bit like just off the pace or a bit uncomfortable, you know, because like usually like halfway through or something, he'll catch a wind and then he'll close back up on the guys, but it just didn't seem like he could bridge that gap.
Yeah.
It looked like he was not comfortable.
Yeah.
So what were you saying about Sexton?
Was Sexton in fourth when he went down, or was he in fifth?
I think he was a little further back, like fifth, sixth, something like that. But even when I caught the tail end of that, like I watched him leave the face of the jump and then just the bike be the way that it was, and then the landing and then him get spit over the bars. It was wild how fast the yellow flags came out. Like, as soon as the bike hit the landing, they were up.
They seem to be really on it with flagging this weekend. Even with the whole Marchbank situation, like, the guy was in the middle of the track with the Red Cross.
Yeah.
Man, can you even imagine what that felt like? Like, we're talking a factory KTM 450, with right?
The throttle open.
To have it be wide open and you just have no control, like, that had to have been horrifying. That's the shit nightmares are made of.
Yeah.
The craziest thing about that jump, too, I mean, that's the biggest jump on the track by far. I mean, distance to distance, takeoff to landing, that was way further than the triple or that double was. And they're, what, a five-footer takeoff? That's nut. And the other landing was 5 foot, too. So how hard those guys were landing off of that first one, crossing against it. There was some talk that they had hoped that the track would double over that first one. But that would be crazy because the mechanics area would have been right there. That shaped up perfect to have that big double after. But then rewatching the race, it doesn't look like Jet ever did it. Only Eli, Ken did it a couple times. Vince went for it, framed it, one good one. Almost did the same thing that Chase did, rode it out into the corner. Big Hill did it a couple times. It was pretty burly to see who uncorked it and who didn't. But I wonder how fast it really like was.
Yeah, I didn't really like that section. It's a waste of
And then end of the turn, yeah, it was a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder, I think that they had thought that it was going to shape up differently if everybody had been able to double it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it was cool to have Josh Hill in the main.
Yeah, straight out of the heat, too.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. I saw something. Was there a release or some stat? It was like only the third time in history there have been two pairs of brothers in the main event.
Really?
The Lawrences and the Hills.
Oh, that's interesting.
But yeah, no, that was super cool that Josh got in.
It was his 100th main or something like that, too? I think they said it was his 100th.
Yeah. Good for him, though. It's so cool that he made the main, and he's like this part-time rider. It's just, I think I'll race this weekend.
Yeah.
Goes and does that.
Yeah. 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 But, I mean, I feel like, you know, when you're a guy like Josh Hill, right, like once you have it and how much you ride, you're not going to lose it, right? You know, because, I mean, he still does a lot of stuff, you know, on the bike and just, I mean, dude was the factory guy for a lot of years, you know, and he was really successful on a motorcycle. So, I mean, I feel like with him, it comes a little bit easier to him than most.
Yeah. Can we talk about Benny?
Ripping.
Oof.
Dude, so I'm so conflicted on what to think because obviously Colt's like, it seems like Colt's on the complete opposite side of the spectrum with how he's feeling and jiving with the bike. Like, is it the bike or is Colt just struggling coming back up to speed? Cause it's hard to believe that you put Colt on equal equipment of Norin or one of those guys. He can't beat them. But then you have,
you know, Benny I think it's a little bit of like the shoulder issue a little bit, but okay. I mean, dude, like they're, I mean, if it's affecting him that much, I think it would be best just for him to honestly, brutally honest, to stay home at this point. Cause it's like, you know, you're on the same factory equipment as Benny Bloss, you're a regional champion, you know, you're coming off of, you know, racing a factory Honda, you know, and Benny's, you know, progressively getting better each week. I mean, he just got eighth, for God's sake. So it's like, I don't understand, you know, if your shoulder's bothering you that bad, I feel like, you know, there's no reason why guys like Cade Clayson or Jeremy Hand or any of these guys to be in front of Colt. Yeah. There's no reason why. I mean, you know, he didn't have a single crash in the night show, you know, and he just straight up got 10th in the heat race and 5th in the LCQ. He straight up got beat by guys that I feel like should not have been beating him. So I don't know. It's tough to say, but
it doesn't seem to be doing any good, really.
Yeah. No,
unless they're improving on the bike in race form or something that we're not seeing, but yeah.
So I talked to Benny about this.
I'm not sure.
Like just, you know, as Benny's gotten better and everything and like what you got to do. And he's like, look, I didn't have a good start of the season. I was struggling. So I have a little bit extra time that Colt doesn't have on the bike that I've like finally been able to crack it, but they're going to have to go in two completely different ways because the way that Benny rides and the way Benny is 6'5", whatever, that's not going to translate to Colt. So Colt's just going to have to put in the time. But like A-Ray said, with issues like a shoulder issue that's been nagging for a while and caused you a bunch of time, and then just the confidence dings you have to be taking, it sucks. Like, but you got it. But yeah. Good for Colt, like, especially in this point, to just keep going up and taking it on the chin and knowing the only way you're going to get better is to keep trying, because he can do as many laps as he wants at the Paso test track to test with those guys. It's nothing like what he's going to face on the weekend. You know, the only play that they're going to get that bike better is to keep testing it in really, really demanding conditions like they are. They'll crack it. Benny, it's just going to take time.
Where's Benny riding during the week?
Benny's back home in Oklahoma.
He is. Okay. Wow. So he's not even, he's done. He's
done testing.
Found his setting and staying good.
I know that they've been doing little bits of stuff. Like if you saw last week, the FMF pipes are back on the bike. So like, looks like, I mean, they're definitely making improvements, and it's the first year on a brand new motorcycle and they're trying the most 1%er sport, you know, like there's going to be some tricky stuff along the way.
They're doing, they're not doing outdoors though.
They're going to do a couple.
Okay.
The guys really want to do the early ones. Like they're already fresh right now. Everybody else is going to be just as much of, hey, I've only done a couple weeks of outdoor testing. We only have one weekend off between Supercross and the summer season kicking off. Like, let's just do the local ones like Paula, Hangtown, Colorado. Make sure we have the points. And if we want to jump into a few fun ones later, like Washougal, Ironman, Unadilla, whatever, we can. But they want to do the first ones early while everybody is already there. Because, like, if you took 6 weeks off and you're not racing and everybody else already is, you're going to come in and be like, shit, why am I getting my ass kicked at Southwick?
Yeah, totally.
So I love it when Benny does his Instagram post walking in the morning. He's, like, not the guy you would think would be doing this stuff. It's more like Colton Bogle. But but I also like when he's always, like, plugging the Fiji water.
Yeah.
He's always holding out. Well, what a cool sponsor that is.
That is a cool sponsor.
I think it might just be water. Like not, I don't know about cash, but they know somebody up there.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's good.
Mm-hmm.
They give a lot of it away every weekend. A lot.
Really?
Of water. Dude, so much. Dude, like there
that's
are,
expensive.
There's boxes and boxes and boxes of it that get dropped off every week.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, all the races I went to, I'd be going back there.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Colt, after he did a spin on Friday at the track and he was good for the day, he walked over to the cooler with his backpack and just started chucking like six tall boys in and just was like, see you guys.
That's sick.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Another good, I mean, Justin Barcia looks like he's building. He's getting a little bit more comfortable. I mean, he got fifth this weekend, so I feel like that's a step in the right direction for him. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I know he was out here last Tuesday, I think I got shut down from filming at the test track because I think he was doing some more testing out here. So it sounds like they're still testing. But yeah, he definitely looked a lot better.
On television, his forks look just like Chase's.
Do they?
They do.
Hmm.
Did you get to see him up close?
If I did, I didn't get that close to him.
I paused it.
I feel like Don might know something really that we don't.
I don't know. It's just a hunch.
You know, I wondered this and I didn't ask him. So, A-Ray, like, I'll ask you. When you go to, like, a dirt bike track, because Don, I know you and me and Chase have all stacked it up someplace. But when you go to a stadium that you know I busted my ass right at that spot right there, do you think about that, like, lap after lap? Or how fast do you have to get over it? Because Bam's whole year pretty much went sideways because of last year there.
I feel like, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, the first year, like, back, you definitely think about it. You know, but yeah, it's just something. Barsha is one of the guys who I feel like is a pretty mentally tough and nothing really shakes him. I mean, obviously he's had a pretty tough year this year.
Does he even remember last year there maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. Like with him, I feel like that's something that doesn't really bother him.
Okay.
But I feel like other guys have been pretty open about that bothering them. Who else? A lot of guys stacked it up there last year, but someone else got asked that on one of the press day interviews I watched, and they said it was in the back of their mind for sure this weekend. So,
When I go up down the stairs tomorrow morning,
you're gonna think about it.
It's gonna be in the back.
I would sleep PTSD. Downstairs tonight if I was you.
You know, hey, I want to touch on AC a little bit, just sort of like, just watching like his demeanor and just everything he's doing like on the weekends. He's really, really trying to have fun with this. I mean, Anton, I'm sure you've seen practice. He stacked it up pretty good, like in the whoops right there. And then he was the first, he got up, you could tell he was in pain. He just waves to the crowd, you know, saying that he's safe. And then after practice, like the last practice, you know, he rolls over, you know, over the jumps, he'll stop. He threw his goggles to the crowd, you know, just, you know, trying to have fun with it, which, think it's super cool, you know, just to sort of see. It's kind of like an actual like farewell tour, like, hey fans, you know, thank you for sticking here with me, you know, these years. And I think that's just super cool, you know. I mean, yeah. even through the tough day that he did have, you know, with a couple crashes that he had and sketchy moments, he was still able to find the light and really like interact with the fans. It was cool.
No, he looks like he has, man, like 1,000 pound cool. weight off.
Yeah,
it would have been cool if he had won that heat race,
dude.
I liked how Hunter afterwards it was like, I'm really sorry I had to pass him.
But yeah, I asked him.
I loved the fist pump for second.
Dude, his fist pump was bigger than Hunter's was. But I asked him, you know, like, because we all wanted it. Like, everybody in the whole stadium was hoping that Adam could have held on for that. Like, everybody was. But his How Was Your Weekend, I straight up, I was like, you don't want a sympathy win like that. And he's like, hell no. I want you guys to race me heads up. Because I know these matter that way. Like, it would have been great. And I'm sure that there's a little bonus in there in his Cali contract for a heat race. So that could have been another couple grand in the bank account to go away on. But, you know, it's good to see Adam having fun.
Yeah, his heats have been good. Like, they really have. I wonder what if there is a certain amount of time on the track that it starts to bother him. Or what? Or
I think he said it's like 3 to 5. It
really depends on the track conditions. Okay.
I think he said it's like 3 to 5, like, minutes. You know, and then harder track conditions are different than the soft ones because then he doesn't have to hang on as tight because in the soft stuff, the bike's just going to go everywhere.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Like when I go out to film the PC boys during the week, like obviously Adam probably knows these layouts, like the back of his hand, he can do it with his eyes closed, but he's doing like full motos during the week. It's not like he's having to pull off after 5 laps or slowing down, you know? So it's probably, I guess it just makes more sense that it's the track conditions too that's playing a role. So,
Hey, how did Hunter Lawrence end up after winning that heat? I mean, he seems like he's really found his stride on the 450.
He was seventh. He was seventh overall.
We got taken down by Jason.
Yeah, so I mean, another good weekend for him. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Not psyched on that. He was bummed because he was ready to go forward.
I haven't seen that still. I just heard Ricky mention it in the broadcast.
Just the end of the whoops, like everybody just diving for that inside line and just a nice little like, hey, we're in the 450 class. You can't do that. Bump.
Okay, yeah. So this weekend there's a lot of special kits and stuff for the St. Jude's. I think we're going to agree.
On the best one?
The best kit, and it wasn't even St. Jude's kit. It was Jet's, like, Gibson.
No.
No, you didn't like that kit? No. Oh, dude, that thing was fire. No. The numbers, Honda on the leg.
It was great. I don't know, man. I'm biased. Yeah. I'm biased. You guys know which one was the best for me, so.
What the?
We have our own St. Jude O'Neill kit, you know, so.
Just did number fonts.
I didn't get to see it in the main.
So one thing, we had a new hire here. It's a girl. Her name's Madison. She's a big like major in graphics design. So So each and every jersey that was made, we got all the artwork from Feld and everything for the St. Jude stuff. But each and every jersey that was made for each individual rider was different in its own little way. So it was something cool that we did.
Huh.
That yeah. So not every person had just like the same like copy and paste artwork.
Hey, Ari, can I ask you on that stuff? They supply like Feld supplies you guys with all that. Like, hey, here's the stuff. Here's the files. All that. This is really cool. So I got to say this in like the most clarified way of like, I'm down with it. Great program. All that stuff. I kind of feel like that they could get more if they encouraged everyone to do something crazy and unique on their own rather than everybody kind of doing the same thing with the same artwork. Like if every team and every gear brand and everybody got encouraged, like, hey, today is the day, the craziest thing that you've been thinking about, do it. These are going to be one-time jerseys. These are going to go for buku money. Make them the most important thing because the jersey collectors that are out there and the people that buy this memorabilia, they know what each race, this is the significance of this. Like the guys that are really into it know the race, what guy wore that jersey. If a crew like Alpine Stars, if O'Neill was able to do something crazy, if every graphic company like what Yariv did with the Sesame Street and the Cars teams, do that stuff. It still goes to St. Jude. We'll put some logos on there, but it's not the same one. No offense to everybody. I feel like it would give this so much more impact, like so much more momentum because it's more important and it really stands out. We're all in on this rather than just taking some supplied clip art and throwing it on what we always make.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's some supplied clip art, Anton. I think it's like it's art that the kids in the actual.
I understand. No. I understand that, and I get that. But at the same time, like the connotation of like it's still the same stuff. I get that thing's important, but you use the same stuff for 5 years now. You know what I mean? So in certain ways, like no offense, but the jerseys look the same year to year because some of the jerseys don't even change that much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, one year go all out, make it something special. It would be probably bring in a lot of money.
You know, my favorite drawing was the tiger a little bit, you know, and maybe
did you see the tiger on Chase's butt? I think.
No, I didn't see that.
Like a little crayon tiger.
I like the message on the. He had a message on the back of the 1-2, and it said, your light is never brighter than when you're in the fight. So that's a very cute, like, super inspiring message. And I'm sure that Chase is like, all right, dude, remember that one for these next few, because he's going to be in it trying to make these points up.
Yeah.
But Chase's stuff
looks good. Is all the St. Jude's gear, is all the stuff for the auction, the stuff that got raced in the main. So, like, Kenny's pants will be all oily, and Chase's jersey will be all dirty on the back.
Yeah, so pretty much after the night of racing, you know, the guys from Feld, they usually make their rounds around the pits and gather up all the St. Jude stuff. I took some extra stuff for the guys at Feld, and it's something that they're real passionate about with the St. Jude and everything.
I really liked the Dirt Studios Anderson kit and the boots. And the TLD stuff.
Okay, so Dirt Studios, it's the guy that does the t-shirts that you love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a collab there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fluorescent green on the boots, but what was that pattern? It's like confetti or something.
Mm-hmm. He posted a picture from like the 90s or whatever of the Tech 4, I think. It was that exact.
I remember that boot now.
It was literally that thing, that exact design it looked like. But yeah.
I was shocked that you liked it. It was flow.
Yeah, I don't know. It was cool.
But it's Dirt Studios. No, so Chase really, the Dirt Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this shit was hot.
Surprised.
Yeah. I know. I got some, like those green boots. Like, I got some boots. Like, I got some boots sitting here in my office that were Ellie a long time ago. Like
the Monster Cup ones.
Yep.
Yeah, those are sick. Yeah.
Yeah, I have them sitting right here. So yeah, they're the same.
My friend bought those off of Ferrandis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sick. Yeah.
Is that the one that blew it off? He blew all the paint off with his power washer.
No, then, oh my God, I have two friends with those boots. I just realized that guy bought them off Nick Schmidt. And yeah, those ones are pressure washed them, so the paint's all blown off.
Offer up.
Well, yeah. Well, the ones that I have aren't painted. The ones that I have are actually like made in the plastic. Ooh. Green. Yeah.
Ooh, that's sick.
And they have this the glitter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so sick.
I think Eli
said these weren't Monster Cup ones. These were like the last, this was just like a Vegas round.
Vegas round? Boot, okay. I think. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you keep your San Diego LACDs, Alex, the ones that were covered with blood?
Ooh.
I might have them somewhere.
The Freddy incident? Somewhere.
I just remember my first memory of Alex is him all fat on 314, but then the next one was even a cycle treader at Yamaha, and he pulled off the track and huge cut in his shin.
Ooh.
Bloody boots.
How'd that happen?
You haven't seen my scar on my knee that's like right around my knee.
Oh yeah, I have. I just never asked about it.
So San Diego Supercross, it was 2018. I seat bounced this three out of a turn with my foot on the rear brake, and I just completely endoed my brains out and ate shit. And my foot peg went through like my knee brace and everything, and it just freaking blew out my patella tendon. And then, well, I mean, it didn't blow it out, but it just ripped a big hole, and there was like blood and like blood clots and everything like shit inside my boot. It was gross. Jesus. I'll send you the photos later. But then I got it all stitched up and everything. They stitched it up. They stitched it up at the track and everything. And like 2 weeks later, it was, let's see, I did like one race, and then 2 weeks later, it was still had stitches in it. My bike shut off at Elsinore, and that's when I the wrist injuries sort of started. Like I dislocated my wrist and I blew out my patella tendon again, and I had to go in and like surgically get it like stitched up in my knee. So yeah, I did it twice in like a month, and it wasn't good. But jeez. Yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday.
If it was like the right amount of blood splatter, that would probably look pretty cool in a boot.
it was gross. Gross.
Anything else in 450s, or we take a break?
Winter Wild now. Like, it's gonna get interesting to see even the jockeying that's going on further back, because now you have like AP out, Ken probably out, Chase gonna have to make up some points on Eli. It'll be nice to see how this top 10 goes from here, because there's some guys that could make some big moves in the last few. Not that
what's the point gap now? Six?
Five.
Five.
So, I mean, that means everything. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference between first and third going through these next few. And then with Eli's, like, 33 points. So it'll take a few to chip that away, too. But he hop-frogged Chase.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
X-Brand Goggles was launched in 2008, and over the past two decades, they've earned a reputation as one of the elite eyewear choices in our sport. The newest offering, the Lucid Goggle, features an XDO injection molded lens for exceptional optical clarity, as well as superior protection against the massive roost that modern day four stroke bikes throw. At Swap Mode Alive, we love the Lucid Goggle for its huge field of vision. Check them out at xbrand.com. That's eksbrand.com. If you're on the West Coast and you're looking for a one-stop shop, you need to visit the guys at STR Motorsports, formerly known as Shock Therapy Racing. With over 30 years of experience, your bike will be in great hands. Whether you're looking for a custom performance suspension revalve or just a basic rebuild, they've got you covered. STR also offers motor building services. Whether you need a stock engine rebuilt or a full-blown race motor, they're the place to go. Conveniently located in Wildomar, California, they're very close to Lake Elsinore and Parrish Raceway. Additionally, they maintain a full stock of oils, tires, and tubes. They can get pretty much anything you need. Check them out at shocktherapysuspension.com.
Bill's Pipes has been producing championship-winning high-performance exhaust systems for all types of off-road motorcycles since 1974. Whether you're a mini racer or simply a premix burning diehard, our two-stroke pipes and silencers deliver unbeatable performance gains. Our four-stroke exhaust systems provide affordable performance gains and are available for motocross, off-road, ATV, and side-by-side applications. Best of all, every product from Bill's Pipes is produced and assembled in the USA. Check us out at BillsPipesUSA.com.
Did you know that in addition to being some of the coolest people on motocross, the crew at WUSA are the official importers of Talon, Kite, and Edge hubs, as well as the leading resource for DID and Excel rims. Through the years, we've tested plenty of aftermarket wheels, and the wheel building crew at WUSA can't be beat. WUSA is the source for all things associated with wheels, including sprockets, spoke wrenches, tire irons, and more. Mention Swap Moto Live when ordering anything from WUSA and get a nice little discount too. Check them out at WUSA.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan Villapoto. Now that I'm living the retired life and not bound to factory team sponsors, I'm able to choose my partners when it comes to building my bikes. I choose Backyard Designs to create my motorcycle graphics because they do a great job. Their kits look great, go on easy, and last long.
Backyard Design has the most comprehensive and user-friendly graphic website in the sport. Use the discount code SWATMOTO at checkout for a discount at backyarddesignsusa.com.
G'day guys, this is 9-times X Games gold medalist Jared McNeil. Off the motocross bike, I spend plenty of time cross-training on my intense mountain bike. From the super fast and efficient Sniper cross-country bike to the aggressive Primer and Tracer trail bikes, or even the amazing Taser e-bike, every intense is designed and developed in the United States and built to the highest standards. A life on two wheels certainly includes pedals too, so give the crew at IntenseCycles.com a look.
What's up? This is Christian Craig. As a motocross racer, being in top physical shape is a must, and my favorite way to train is cycling. And whether it's road biking or mountain biking, I rely on Roy Cyclery to keep my bikes in perfect running order.
Roy Cyclery has been servicing Old Town Upland, California since 1962. Mention the Swap Moto Life podcast for additional discounts in the show.
Guts Racing, the leaders in seat technology. Go to gutsracing.com today and design your custom seat cover. We try to ship all custom seat covers within 36 business hours. We also offer free shipping to the lower 48 states. Once again, that's gutsracing.com.
Over the past 40 years, EVS Sports has established themselves as the leaders in innovation and technology when it comes to designing protection gear for today's motocross riders. Athletes like RJ Hampshire, Kyle Chisholm, Axel Hodges, and Travis Pastrana all wear EVS when they race, ride, or whatever Travis decides to do that day. Check out EVS-sports.com to gear up like the pros.
Everyone, welcome back to the Kickstart Podcast presented by Pro Taper. It was an exciting weekend here in California because concurrently with your Nashville Supercross, I got to go to Glen Helen for the two-stroke world championships presented by Wiseco. And, dude, everything we put on our Instagram got, like, a lot of views. Like, I think a lot of people were interested in seeing Ryan Villapoto race that YZ250. And it was pretty cool. Like, it was super exciting. And did you see that Justin Heff, like, comes out of the woodwork again and wins?
Oh, he's an off-road guy.
He races off-road? He's off-road guy.
Yeah, that's why he got him second moto.
Oh, okay.
The rough track is right up his alley.
Yeah, I don't know. Carson Brown closed in.
That's what I heard.
He fell in the last turn.
Yeah.
Going for it. But, yeah, Carson was on this crazy bike. Did you hear about it?
It was a Suzuki with, like, a KTM 300 motor in it or something?
The KTM 250 engine.
That's ridiculous.
But a Suzuki, I think it was RMZ 250 chassis.
Why would you choose that chassis?
I don't know. It's beyond me, but I think that's a Jamie Ellis creation. But it was super cool. Like, so many crazy, cool bikes. Like, there was a guy, I meant to look up his name, but I think he was on a CR500, and he's, like, in the top five, number 636. Or
oh,
maybe
wow.
It was
oh, Luke. He's on that's
a,
your boy.
Yeah, he's an O'Neill guy. It's Luke Kalatian. He's on that was a CR250. I think it's a 1995 or something.
Yeah, wait, is that the one he raced Loretta's on?
Yeah, he raced it at Mammoth too.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I don't know if he raced Loretta's on it. That was Jerry Robin.
Oh, okay. Dude, the number plate is like gigantic, this big square.
Hey,
thing.
He had St. Jude stuff on. I saw it at Glen Helen.
Yeah. I ended up sending it to him just because I thought he was gonna be racing Nashville, but yeah, he said he was gonna race a 2-stroke race instead. So I was like, all right, well, I'll send it to you. Wear it there, take some photos.
Yeah, that kid rips.
But, okay, Trevor Stewart was there. But like, I didn't realize it was him till like the first moto was almost over. Why would he run it number 43? Do you have any idea?
That's his brand. His
filming 43.
Why wouldn't his brand be 75? He's been 75 forever.
His filming brand, or his little filming thing, has always been 43.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so he did great as well. But yeah, RV, man, he was like the most popular guy at the track. People just coming to meet him and take pictures with him and everything. And he hole shot the second moto and led for a lap and a half till Hef got him.
Yeah.
But dude, he got third in the second moto. I'm not sure what he got overall, but he's like texting me last night, bro, if I actually trained for this, I think I could have won. I'm like, yeah, well, why didn't you train?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, is the five laps I seen him do at Glen Helen leading up to it, I don't think it's going to do much.
He was so funny. Yeah. I did a little video with him on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And before I said, welcome to checking in with, he's like, dude, it's 20-minute motos, two of them. That's like the longest I've ridden in my whole life since I retired. But I don't know. It was pretty cool. I went out on Friday with the intention of trying to race our 300 SX. And, yeah, my leg hurt too bad. I couldn't sit down.
It probably hurt from being close to those graphics that you didn't take off still.
I was going to replace the whole bike.
I know.
Friday night.
I got a trash bag full of plastics for you.
But I will say the Race Tech Spring Conversion KTM fork felt amazing. My leg just didn't feel amazing. But, yeah, it was a bummer. I wanted to go out. And then I was, like, trying to find someone to race my bike. Mm. You know, I offered to several people. And then no one bit. But then on Saturday, I run into David O'Connor.
Oh, yeah.
And he was riding some Husqvarna Enduro bike. And I was all, what's that? He's all, that's all I could find. And I'm all, damn it. He could have raced my bike. But,
you should have Mattia ride that thing. That would keep our show bike pretty.
Yeah, no, he wanted to ride the Yamaha. Wow. He wanted to ride the Yamaha because it has the Backyard Designs retro Yamaha kit on it.
And his gear's so old it goes with it?
That too. But he was like, oh, it matches my girlfriend's jet ski.
Oh my God.
He's such a homo.
Oh my God.
I wish I could have seen RV back in the two-stroke around. Like, I'm sure RV riding style, throwing the rear end everywhere, was probably so sick.
Dude, yeah, it was awesome. But, like, dude, there's a couple times it looked like he blew out his ACL because he was, like, he wasn't shy about the throttle, dude. He'd go into the corners and just go, Biot! And a couple times he dragged his leg back.
And the yellow pants?
Yeah, the mustard-colored pants. There's...
Matt Burkeen, I guess, drove all the way out there to film the
two-stroke race.
So if you do want to see that, Anton, you can probably go over to his YouTube channel and watch the entire race.
Did he race? Oh, shit. I heard his name on the loudspeaker.
Yeah, he raced as well. I think he raced the 125 class. But yeah, he did like his whole vlog on the 250 class. So super cool.
Wow, that's
awesome.
RV could have had more fun because then I'm sure if he had done well, he would have been like, yeah, if I would have raced two strokes, I'd have whooped everybody's ass. I really wish RV like would have had fun on a two stroke because his riding style is so sick on it. Even back to the premix stuff when he was on that steel frame Cowie, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's perfect. That's his generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to test his bike on Wednesday at LACR and he wants to come ride it. So there's a chance it's gonna be Pat Foster and RV.
Ooh.
That would be pretty cool, I think.
Hey, Anton, and Don, all of you guys. I talked to someone at Pro Circuit who was saying something about maybe testing a bike, a 250. Ooh. after Salt Lake City maybe
Enjoy the Ride series.
Yeah, maybe a little Enjoy the Ride series. So I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, it was a truck driver, so maybe he just wants to ride the bike too. Yeah, he's like, man, I seen where you did like that Moto Concepts thing. That like that's pretty cool, man. Let's try and do that over here.
At least two of them just sitting there.
Yeah, there's at least two of them. There's three of them at the shop not getting used. So
yeah.
but yeah, so him and then also Derek Rankin from the Mad Parts Kawasaki team. He was mentioning something like that as well for after Salt Lake.
Which one would you rather ride, a Pro Circuit Kawasaki or a Mad Parts Privateer Kawasaki?
I would like to ride that I would like to ride that Pro Circuit Kawasaki. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. That would be badass. Yeah.
Whose would you choose?
Great question. Forkner's.
Forkner's.
Really?
Why?
Yeah.
It's got the least amount of time on it.
No, I would say, I would just say because, well, actually, I mean, between Forkner and Kitchen, just with their start techniques and like their, like how well they start on the Kawasaki, you know, just, I would like to ride one of those two. I think, both of them have just the way like the bike looks like it reacts like suspension wise and everything. I think that those two are the best working bikes.
I'll donate a pallet of Coors Light if you get to ride two of them so you can compare and contrast. Like you can ride Cameron's or Kitchen's and ride Austin's. Like if that'll sweeten Mitch up enough where we give him just a whole pallet of CLs.
Oh, that'd be sick.
That'd be sick. And so who knows if Mitch really
who knows if even Mitch knows about this.
You know, Jim Driver's just going to pull over
with,
on the highway.
With Jim Driver,
He's back awesome. To the shop.
Hey, Mitch, I can't make it today. We broke down. We broke down in Elsinore.
Yeah.
Okay, so segueing into 250 class talk.
Is there anything to talk about with the Pro Circuit team?
What?
Is there anything to talk about with the Pro Circuit team?
Well, no, nothing at all.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that I'm buying lunch today because I won $250.
Yep.
I bet on RJ Hampshire.
I didn't win again, so.
You lost?
No, yeah, I lost.
Mm. Well, I guess I came out 200 ahead because I also bet on a ride in the 450 class that had a mechanical and flew over the bars. So,
I don't know if he would have won, though.
Yeah, I don't. I just wanted to bet something different, right? Like, been such a great season with unpredictable results.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, why not? Let's bet on Sexton, right?
I had some money on Eli, so.
Yeah, that was a safe bet. That was good.
Yeah.
You know what I don't get is... You know, obviously Jet's a favorite, right? So but he's the only one with odds that you can't make money on.
Yeah, and he hasn't won since they started. Well, now he has, but before this weekend.
But I don't know. There's three races left and
money to be made.
I want
to
have a big one like you did with Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish. I heard Dan Truman got Deegan at like plus 1600 last week, so that's pretty insane. I wonder how much.
Yeah, and I talked to him. I should have asked him how much he won because I was talking to him Saturday night, you know, and dude, he's a good gambler. Like he knows his stuff too. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't bet on anyone yet. I need to, you know, but funds are low.
I heard about that whole, you know, Deegan at whatever it was line. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Because I don't know. So I found like a calculator on the internet and then punched it in. And it told me what the odds were. And I put in like a $10 bet. And I was like, oh, okay. So like comparatively to scale, that's what it was. And then I was thinking about it. And I was like, anybody I know that's really betting is not betting $10. So I put a real money amount, like $1,000 or $2,000 in, like what a real person would bet of that on. And it was like mind-blowing the amount that they made. Yeah. I was like, oh, I see how you could spend every Saturday wanting to do this now, 100%.
Yes. Locked in.
Yeah. Ready for them to give me comp casino buffets and give me a room at the, you know, give me the Rain Man suite. I'm ready.
All right.
If you want to get in on the action, it's betonline.ag. And we got three supercrosses left.
Time to just risk it all, guys.
Yeah.
Well, it goes to the Nationals. Risk it for the biscuit.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think the MX Nationals is going to be even harder to predict.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was just supercross.
In the 250 class.
That's exciting.
Yeah. All right. So, 250 class, dude, did you see the Moto Memes meme of
Mitch burning the semi down.
God, for all of us like pulling for Pro Circuit to win two titles, because you know they haven't won anything in so long. It's like it just all went wrong for the guys in green
so quickly.
Yeah,
I feel like Kitchen still has a shot at it. You know, only like five points out, I believe. You know, and 2 points out. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
2 points. with how well he's been riding, you know, I mean, he still had, I think, the second fastest lap time of the main event, Anton was saying prior to the podcast. So, I mean, that's freaking awesome. Nuts. You know, and he started up, you know, he started the race freaking almost a lap down, you know, and he never got lapped by Hampshire. So that was good. And then, you know, he worked his way up. He didn't quit. So that was awesome to see. So, I mean, I think he's still the favorite for the championship, but poor McAdoo, man. Yeah. He's out of this thing. I feel like, you know, with the amount of races, he's going to need a miracle, you know, and who knows how bad his shoulder is. Right. Because we've seen that guy get beat up and knocked down and still be able to finish the main event. So he had to be riding through some severe pain, and you could tell that he would like, every lap around the track, it was just getting worse and worse and worse. You know, I mean, I'm sure he got a Toradol shot, but whenever something's either broken or torn or whenever you're going through something, like a shot of Toradol is only going to do so much, right? So super and, big bummer. So I guess we'll find out today, hopefully by the end of the day, if what the deal is.
Well, I don't want to speculate, but I am 99.9% sure that's the shoulder. I saw him hurt preseason, so.
Yeah, it was. When he dinged it in that practice, it was already pretty weak. And then he went down on, I think it was the same shoulder again when he hits those tough blocks at the top of the berm and then has that crash after coming together with Levi. But yeah, and he only has 6 days, you know, really to make anything happen. I didn't know that I had heard after the second practice that something had happened, but I watched that one from the top of the stands to film it. So I didn't see Cameron pull off early, so I had no idea. And then there was some just talk in the photo den about, like, hey, you know, Cameron pulled off. I wonder how he is, whatever. So then I went out to the pits before the night show, and as I was coming back, I saw NYK at the PC truck. And I wasn't thinking about it, but I was like, yo, what's up, NYK? And he definitely had, like, the 1,000-yard stare of, like, we have to get business done. And I didn't dawn on me until I went into the stadium. And then Cameron was doing the rubber band stretch to get warmed up and everything. So it was definitely about maintenance for him to get through the night and then just worst case scenario. And I mean, it's a full blown racing accident. Those two, as they enter that first rhythm at the start of the main, they almost bump just with the way everything went. And then it looks like Levi just goes a little long and then just shoots into him. And it's nothing anybody did. And then Cameron's second incident is just went high in the berm. For Levi too, to take a front and a rear tire right to the face.
Dude,
read what he said. And then how, like A-Ray said, he didn't get lapped, but he was pinned under the bike for quite some time. I mean, three quarters of a lap for sure. And then made some moves. Casey Cochran stalling coming out of the stand was kind of clutch for him, actually, because it did give him one extra point that he needed in the last 2-3 laps of the race, because there was no way that he was going to make it up to Thrasher, because we would be looking at a 3-point difference right now, which is the difference between first and second, and now it's second to third and a top 10. So this is definitely going to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's third in time. Points now, though, right? Or is he second in points?
Levi?
Levi's second.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
don't know. McAdoo's third in points now.
Okay.
Because it's Vial, then Hayden.
Dude, this Vial Hayden thing, get ready. Yeah. Shit's about to get way real. If you thought that those two were going to save anything for it, if you watch any other interview that's going on Vital or Moto Online or RacerX, a lot of barbs thrown at each other in the last few weeks. Hayden said in his Vital interview, he's time to get feisty about it and like really put up a fight. And I know Tom had said some things too. I'm ready to see some shit. This is going to be all time.
I can't wait.
Yeah, they don't really like each other too much.
No. And dude, so wild too. So wild too, because if you think back to Detroit, it's these two going down in the first turn and Cameron. So all three guys that were in the opening lap incident are back into it. Hayden was pissed about that for quite a few weeks. I think Tom has been even more incensed about like, oh, you're just going to keep targeting me for everything. Hayden said something to me after he won Foxborough that the other tracks, you know, were built for Vial to win. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I don't know how that one's going to go. And then I heard Tom say some stuff and some other interviews going into Friday. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely ratcheting up. And it's a 2-time world champion that knows how to get it done. And then last year, super motocross champion, you know, ready for it. Like, this has got a lot of excitement to it that we have been waiting for all year.
I wonder where it stems from, though, because even before the first turn, very first qualifying session of the year, Hayden's flipping off Vial.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me. It's not like these two grew up racing against each other in the amateur ranks.
Yeah.
A little bit different. So
So in the midst of all this chaos, guys getting hurt, eating shit, Joe quietly finishes second in his rainbow sherbet ice cream kit.
So sick.
Why was he dirty before the start of the main event? Did you notice that? Like, he looked like he had gotten roosted. Like, his roost brace was all full of mud. I know he had a spare jersey, but I wonder if he got roosted or something like that, or somebody hit him.
On the parade lap?
Yeah, because he was blown out looking.
You know, it's cool. He chose all the colors for that kit.
Yeah.
That was a good looking kit.
When he came into the show, he was showing us pictures of it and everything.
Pretty neat. Pretty neat.
So, dude, television didn't show much of him. How did he look?
Joe? Yeah, he looked good.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like typical Joe. He just, I mean, he looked like normal Joe. Joe just got a better start this weekend. That's something that he's been missing all season. He just hasn't been getting the starts. He hasn't been starting up with the guys, and he's been working his way up from the back. And, you know, with you know, the field, you know, and the guys that he's racing against, like, I mean, they're really good guys now. So, I mean, it's just taking a little bit of time for him, but he's finally getting his Honda figured out.
Yeah. Do you guys notice how obviously it was a showdown race and we had the best of both coasts? And when you put all the best guys in the 250 class against each other, it starts to look like the 450 class where guys like Hayden, you get a bad start. It's hard to make some passes, and it almost becomes a little bit of a start cross, so just like 450s.
Yeah, Hayden was buried the first couple laps. And, you know, him and Juju both, you know, I noticed Hayden because him and Juju sort of were together on the first lap and they were buried. And luckily, Juju was able to latch on to Deegan. Deegan made a couple more passes than Juju did, but, I mean, they both made their way up through the pack pretty well. I mean, for Hayden to get up to six was pretty impressive.
Hayden and Max picked, like, the furthest inside gates, and it did not work out because they go into that first turn, and they're, like, 19th and 20th together. And then I guess they bump in the second turn to avoid the Levi incident, and then Hayden said in an interview that it might have dinged his radiator and bent it into where the front end didn't steer the right way because it was like hitting the fender. But yeah, they were at the very, very tail of the field to get through that. So yeah, like A-Ray said, if you're not getting a start, it's hard to come back. And then as Hayden kind of saw through the weekend, like, nobody was giving anybody an inch in either race because every point mattered. You know, like Gage Linville did everything to make sure that Hayden stayed behind him. And then when it was in the last laps of that showdown, four riders that Hayden had to pass and he got through them. Like, that was pretty impressive. He made the pass.
Speaking of Gage Linville, like, I want to talk about him a little bit because he's one of our guys, you know, riding for the Dirt Bike Depot team. He's a complete privateer, right? I mean, this Dirt Bike Depot team, it's a van and a trailer, you know, and, you know, Max over there at Dirt Bike Depot, he's doing everything that he can for these guys. But at the same time, you know, they're still a complete factory or complete privateer program. Each individual guy, you know, they all have, like, you know, different brand of motorcycles, that type of thing. So, I mean, Gage is on his own for the most part, other than the Dirt Bike support of the Dirt Bike Depot team. But to see the amount of heart that kid has just with, you know, how good his, like, racecraft was in the heat race and how well he was fighting back. He didn't give a shit who was around him. He was always just fighting for the position that he had. That was freaking awesome to see. And even in the LCQ too, like, Dax Bennett, a factory star racing Yamaha dude, who's got a podium this year, passes him right back, and then Gage stays in front of him the entire LCQ. It was just super cool to see. And the kid, he deserves, you know, he deserves some props because he was riding very, very well this past weekend in Nashville.
Where's he from, Alex? Do you know?
So he was an MTF kid there for a bit. He lives around Tallahassee, I believe now. I think he's riding, let's see.
Is he the one at Dog Pound?
MTF kid. And now he's training with Yogi, Ezra Lusk. And, you know, and like him and Davey know each other.
That Ezra?
Ezra does. So,
different Ezra.
Yeah. And Ezra is pretty freaking gnarly. So, I mean, whatever he's doing, it's working. You know, we've seen him in some of the LCQs and heat races, just not giving up. You know, the one, I believe Detroit, it might've been Detroit, where him and Hardy Munoz and that Brock Pappy dude were nailing each other like four turns in a row. So awesome to see. I don't know.
Dude, his pass back retaliation racecraft is like on par with Cooper Webb's.
Yeah, it's sick.
Dude, yeah.
When he got Deegan back, I was just like, whoa, holy shit.
I want to know. I wanna...
He doesn't give a shit who he's racing. That's awesome. Like some people, they get spooked and just let the guys by, but not Gage. Gage doesn't give a shit, you know? So
the amount of progress that he's made in 2.5 years is nuts too. Cause he started doing Supercross with your Reeves team and like admittedly wasn't going that good.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He had a couple big ones, went all the way down to Australia. Mm-hmm. It was a big learning curve. And then for him to be among all the top guys, you know, 22 dudes, and he is, like A-Ray said, full privateer on a bike he bought. It's cool.
I forgot about that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's one of the only guys in this field, you know, this past weekend in the 250 class that, I mean, is an actual, like, legit privateer. You know, I mean, the guys at Dirt Bike Depot, they do their best that they can, but you know, I mean, they're not, you know, showing up to a semi, you know, at the races. So it's like, you know, with the program that they have, you know, it's great, but to see what, you know, he's doing, he's making the best foot forward. So it's awesome to see. Yeah.
Agreed. Well, I think we're going to wrap this week show up. I've got a busy afternoon and we're gonna turn it off before the podcast goes south and we start talking about wieners or something.
All right.
I mean I got all day to talk about the RDX boots, you know.
Yeah
we should turn it off.
Yeah
and then... Hey, did you hit your dealers? Did you hit your dealers Friday?
So my flight was delayed, but we were able to hit one dealership. It was a key dealership and we did get a pretty good commitment. So yeah, we were stoked on that. So it was good. Heck yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do. Sell the metal. Were you there strictly business? Like, did you go out or do anything fun or?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit of my birthday weekend. I did go out on Friday night just for a little bit, but I didn't go out on Saturday night after the race. So, yeah, I mean, we're there, you know, we met up with one of our outside sales reps and yeah, it was good. Got to see my family, got to see Samantha's family, you know, so everything was all good there. Yeah, we were stoked. It was good.
What birthday weekend? How old are you now? 32?
So I will be turning 30 freaking one tomorrow.
Yeah.
I am old, boy. I am old. Yeah.
Okay, well, everyone hit up A-Ray140 on Instagram and wish him a happy birthday tomorrow. In the meantime.
And hit up Jim Driver and get him to let us test that circuit bike.
Jim Driver.
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
All right, guys. Thanks for checking out the Kickstart podcast presented by Pro Taper. We will see you next week.
Since 1991, Pro Taper has led the way in premium control components and prides themselves on providing an exciting, innovative and complete product line to fulfill the needs of professional racers and weekend riders alike. Through revolutionary ideas like the oversized 1 1/8 inch handlebar and the micro handlebar kit, the only control system purpose-built for youth riders, Pro Taper continues to push the limits and transform how we experience riding our motorcycles. Visit ProTaper.com for more.